Welcome to All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty, author of an enhanced study guide to the Screwtape Letters entitled C.S. Lewis Goes to Hell. Today I have a special interview that is a little different than most. Typically I wait until an author has a book published on a topic, but when I learned of the unique way my friend Andrew Lazo was taking to complete a book about C.S. Lewis's novel Till We Have Faces, I decided to have him on as a guest. To get things rolling for his book, he is doing a four-part lecture series in the Houston area. Though the first talk was already given in October 2017, and even if you don't live close enough to the Houston area, you will want to keep listening to learn about the future book and how he might be in an area closer to you to speak. Well, welcome back to All About Jack, Andrew.
Well, it's so nice to be back and to speak to your listeners again, William.
Well, as noted, you're doing a four-part lecture series, and I believe the title I have here is C.S. Lewis and the Myth of Love, Unveiling the Mysteries of Till We Have Faces. So give us the rundown of the where and when this lecture series will be.
Well, thanks. I've been honored by the School of Christian Thought at HBU to be invited this school year to give this four-part course of talks. The first talk was an overview of Till We Have Faces and the project. The second talk is November 15th. Third talk is February 7th. And the last talk in the series is March 21st. Hoping to maybe even have Michael Ward show up for that and introduce me if that all works out. And all of those talks will be at the Beelin Chapel from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Wednesday nights there on the campus at Houston Baptist University.
All right. And as we noted in the introduction, we want people to still stick around even if they're not able to make it out to hear their series. We'll give them some details about recordings and other possibilities. And, of course, they can stay tuned to All About Jack for future podcasts or articles on my website to note things related to this, because one of the things let's go ahead and maybe tackle next is, you know, why are you dealing with Till We Have Faces? And part of that, I think, is because you've been working on a book related to Till We Have Faces. That's been going on for, what, a couple of weeks maybe, or is that years?
It's been more years than I can almost count. The genesis of it came from an invitation from the C.S. Lewis Foundation during their summer conference at Williams College to do a college course for credit. And they said, would you teach maybe two or three Lewis books? And immediately I said, I want to teach the Four Loves and Till We Have Faces. And as I was preparing those talks, that latter book, that kind of mysterious, compelling, amazing novel that Lewis calls Far and Away My Best Book, that book kind of opened itself up to me, William. And as I taught it, we were all in tears every day at the profound nature of what's going on. So it's kind of a mysterious book, but I've been working on it since 2006. And I have a whole cohort, a whole friendly band, a company I keep of folks who've been encouraging me again and again to write that book on Till We Have Faces and help explain it. And so I finally decided to do it in the same way that Lewis wrote a number of his books. I'm going to give each of the chapters, there are 13 chapters in total, so each of those I'm planning to give as talks, and then we'll transcribe those talks and then turn those into the printed page. And so the compelling nature of Till We Have Faces and the mysteries that I started to really find when I read it closely and compare it to Lewis's other works, that started in over a decade ago, and it's now becoming an actual reality that we'll someday see the covers of a book.
Now, one of the things I want to examine here is within your title, you have the words myth and mysteries. I guess this might preview some aspects of your talk, but what do you mean by myth and what mysteries?
Well, you know, one of the things that inspired me was Michael Ward's work on Planet Narnia and his idea of Lewis's secrecy. And so as I was preparing the original study, I thought if Lewis has got an undergirding structure to Narnia, which he wrote while he was still a tutor at Magdalen in Oxford and had a ton of work, wouldn't his last best novel while he was a professor and had more free time to write, wouldn't that book itself have a structure? And if he's hiding in the Chronicles of Narnia, maybe he's also hiding in Till We Have Faces. And so I think that the mysteries, the things that I'm trying to plumb, the deeper I read, the further I got into some of these mysteries. And I think that Lewis was really doing some very profound things. I want to tread carefully on the word myth. As a teacher of myth, the word to me means, and to most standard definitions in a mythology textbook, it simply means, it comes from the Greek word mythos, which means story. And it means, in the context I'm using it, an old story that's been handed down, dealing with the supernatural, specifically gods, heroes, and creation. That's a textbook definition. Myth can come to mean a kind of lie, but the interesting thing about Till We Have Faces is that our narrator, Oriol, is actually lying to us through the course of the book. In some ways, she's a little bit like Screwtape. And so kind of unraveling when she's telling us the truth and when she's not really presented a challenge for me. And as I did that, that's when some of the depth of what Lewis was doing really opened itself up. You know, he says twice in his letters that it is far and away his best book. And a lot of people get confused by that. There's kind of the Till We Have Faces whiplash where people read it and they're like, well, what in the world was that? But I think that I have kind of unpacked that, uncovered that. I think I know why he considered it far and away his best book. And to a certain degree, I'll be unveiling all of that in those talks.
All right. Now, one of the things that people probably caught right away, you were very clear in that, is this is a four-part series, and the first one, by the time this is released on my podcast, has already happened. And so people are probably wondering, well, what about the other nine? Are you open to going other places to give these other talks, or are they already lined up? What's the possibilities?
Absolutely. I've got four talks booked at HBU, but there are 10 other chapters actually in the book. And I'm talking with some folks in Nashville about the possibility of coming and speaking at a university or two there. Talking with a friend down in Corpus Christi, coming to the Logsdon Seminary maybe in the spring. And so a lot of people have been saying, will these talks be recorded and how can I hear them? I can't get to Houston. Well, I'm more than happy to come to a local church or a university or maybe, you know, a number of churches that'll combine together to bring me in order to give the other 10 chapters, all of which have been mapped out, they're outlined, they're ready to go. I'm just going to give the talks as a way to flesh out the chapters of that book. And so if somebody around the country or in Houston but not able to come to these wants to hear me come, just get a hold of me, andrewlazo@gmail.com or mythoflove.net. And there's all kinds of information about that. I'd love to talk about maybe booking and coming to a city near you, as they say.
Okay. And, of course, in the show notes, I'll have links for those, for that pieces of information. Then as things progress beyond this original recording, I will do my best to include that information. And then, of course, I'll have a link to your website, andrewlazo.com, and so people can go ahead and find out the latest information there. Let me have you go ahead and just quickly spell your first name is a traditional spelling, I believe. But go ahead and spell that for those who are just listening and don't get a chance to go look at those notes.
Absolutely. Well, actually, the primary source you'll probably want to look at is mythoflove.net, and that's just one word, Myth of Love, which is the title of the study. They can also find me at andrewlazo.com. That's andrewlazo.com. But if you're interested in Myth of Love and in finding out more about the forthcoming book and in booking me in your city, mythoflove.net is the way to go.
All right, great. And again, that will be in the show notes. But for those who like to listen to audio on the go and they're just taking their own notes, they can avail themselves of that information. Well, now, one of the things we didn't necessarily set out in terms of what to talk about, and that is, I don't know if you can go ahead and maybe give a taste, maybe not of each chapter, but some of the key things that you'll be dealing with in the book overall, whether it be, and the note if they're going to be in the talks in Houston or not. Can you give us maybe a thumbnail sketch of a few?
Absolutely. Sure. The first talk, which will have already been given by the time this airs, will be basically an overview. And so I actually am a fairly simple guy. And so I took the title, C.S. Lewis and the Myth of Love, Unveiling the Mysteries of Till We Have Faces. And so I'm going to do a quick intro on C.S. Lewis and who he was. So any of these talks are wide open for folks who love Lewis, but it's certainly, I'm going to have plenty of information for those who haven't read much Lewis. I've had some questions, you know, how much do I need to know before I come to the talk? You just need to know how to get a ticket and how to walk in the door. I'll take it from there. So the overview will be a little about C.S. Lewis, a little bit about myth and the power of story. And of course, Lewis writes a lot of that. He's really interested in story and how the imagination finds its way into words. He and Tolkien worked on that all the time. Love is a central theme. It's an overarching underlying theme in everything Lewis does. And so then that's the third part. The fourth part of the introductory talk will be just looking at kind of the provenance of Till We Have Faces, how Lewis was writing that book for most of his life. And so that's what that first talk will be. The second talk will look at the way that all of Lewis's works, I argue, are integrated in Till We Have Faces. I'll look at the way that Till We Have Faces echoes through every single other work that Lewis did. It's been shocking to me, and then it began being not surprising that you can find those themes everywhere. So that second talk will be looking at The Four Loves, Screwtape Letters, Surprised by Joy, The Chronicles of Narnia, the scholarly work, Mere Christianity, some of Lewis's early work, Dimmer, even books that follow Till We Have Faces, are full of some of those ideas that Lewis really, really captured in that one masterful novel, Till We Have Faces. That fourth talk will be a week before Valentine's Day, so I thought that might be an excellent time to talk about how I believe C.S. Lewis and Joy Davidman actually fell in love in the spring of 1955 as they were writing this book together. And I've discovered some new things about Lewis and Joy Davidman's relationship, about their first meeting, and have talked with dozens of folks, even folks who knew Lewis and saw him brighten up when Joy Davidman walked in the room. So I'll be looking at her role in the writing of Till We Have Faces, both in the actual composition, and I think you even hear some of Joy Davidman's voice in Oriol in the lead character. That final talk will be about love and about the love of God. The thing that I found curious about Till We Have Faces is it seems so complex, but once you understand what Lewis is really about, it pops wide open and is almost as clear as the best Billy Graham gospel track in terms of presenting the gospel to the world. I think that's what part of what Lewis was doing. And so we'll talk about love, the love of God, and how that pervades on that last March 21st lecture.
All right, great. And again, we encourage people who are near enough to Houston, but even if you're not, stay tuned. Earlier, Andrew gave the address for the website, mythoflove.net, to learn about those details, as well as a book that will be forthcoming. And then also he was earlier noting about for other talks, don't have those booked yet, but open to still possibilities. Maybe in terms of wrapping up, let's maybe have you give a little bit more in terms of Joy Davidman's involvement. But before you discuss about Joy Davidman a little bit more, tell us about how you got into Till We Have Faces, your first impressions when you read it, things of that nature.
You know, I first read it when I was on the road with Phil Keggy. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, I traveled with him for 2.5 years, and I had spent some time with the folks in the band Over the Rhine, and their first album was actually called Till We Have Faces. And Linford Detweiler gave me an American first edition of that book, and I read it on an airplane from L.A. to Nashville in one sitting. And like I said, like I mentioned, whiplash. It kind of was like, what in the world just happened to me? I love Lewis. I know Lewis pretty well. I have no idea how this fits into the canon, and it seemed very strange. But as I've read it and reread it and reread it, little by little, and as I've read other Lewis, and then I've read his own comments about it, I think that it was, as he said, far and away my best book. And if Lewis considered it his best, I want to find out why. So I really began digging in and exploring that. But he also called it his one great disappointment with the critics. So Michael Ward talks about how there's this secrecy to Lewis. He was honest, but he was secretive. And I think that he was keeping something secret. Well, let me read you this quote. In September of 1955, right after he finishes Till We Have Faces, Carl F. H. Henry, the editor of Christianity Today, the American theologian, writes to Lewis asking for articles. And Lewis responds and says, "I can't write your articles for you. My thought and talent," Lewis says, "such as they are, now flow in different, though I think not less Christian, channels, and I do not think I am at all likely to write more directly theological pieces." He underlined the word directly. "If I am now good for anything, it is for catching the reader unawares through fiction and symbol. I have done what I could in the way of frontal attacks, but I now feel quite sure those days are over." So if we look at Lewis's words, he's writing indirect theology that is a behind the scenes or behind guard attack on disbelief. And he says he's trying to catch the reader unawares through fiction and symbol. You know, several years ago, it dawned on me that this is very like Jesus' project in the parables. The Gospels tell us that Christ didn't open his mouth except to tell a parable, and he did it so that seeing they could not see and hearing they could not hear. So seeing they wouldn't see, hearing they wouldn't hear. Oriwall struggles for most of the book with her quote-unquote riddle. And I think Lewis made himself a riddle for us, making it just this amazing, though indirect, symbolic theology. And that's what really intrigued me. He uses the power of story in some ways to obfuscate the truth so that we hunt for it, long for it, and dig into it and discover it ourselves, like a man searching in a field for a pearl of great price. That pearl of great price in Lewis's works is clearly Till We Have Faces, and I look forward to kind of opening that up to readers and to listeners and to hearers.
Excellent. And of course, people don't need to have read Till We Have Faces before they come see you, but that would be strongly encouraged. In fact, all my podcasts related to Lewis, we are encouraging people to read Lewis directly, and then there's this additional information like myself and you that try to do to help encourage people to go back in to read Lewis for the first time or to reread him. Well, let's kind of preset up the final question here, and that is, you know, how involved was Joy Davidman? You don't have to obviously give away the farm, but give us some more taste about her involvement to wrap up.
Well, you know, recent biographical work has really shown how early she had gotten involved with Lewis. She begins writing him as early as 49. By 1952, she moves to London for a few months and gets to know him. She's on a first-name basis with him. She's calling him Jack, which is pretty extraordinary for Lewis to do, to allow that kind of intimacy or friendship. She moves to England in 1953, living in London. She's still living in London, but in the spring of 1955, in her own letters, she talks about kicking around an idea with Lewis one night. They poured a whiskey. Lewis, as I mentioned, was at Cambridge. He had more leisure and time, but he ran out of ideas. He had tried to write Till We Have Faces for years since he was a schoolboy. And none of the forms seemed to work. We know how much he was interested in longing for a form. Joy helped him kick around the ideas. And in her own letters to her ex-husband, she says, "I can't write. I'm not anything like a tenth the writer that Lewis is, but I can help him write more like himself. He says he finds my help indispensable." And so you could definitely hear her voice, see her touch. In that book, in terms of helping Lewis find his own voice, write like himself. I spoke with Douglas Gresham once in the Kilns, and he told me, I remember writing it down, he said there was a double author to that book. Now, that's controversial. I'm not sure I could entirely prove that. I haven't seen any manuscripts with her handwriting, but I think that she was indispensable, as she said, and a vital voice in the composition of that book. And in some ways, the chapter I'm writing on their relationship is called A Curious Courtship. And I believe that in the intimacy of writing this book together about love, they actually fell in love, even though Lewis might not have been willing to admit it to himself. I think recent work in the poetry and the biography shows that Joy was in love with him by now. And they're writing this book together, I think, in some ways cemented their future marriage.
All right. Well, very interesting. Yes, definitely, for those who are familiar with Lewis's life, you can't help but think that she would be involved in some level. And it's very interesting to learn some background things that maybe not as well known that you're helping to let people know about. And speaking of letting people know, again, we encourage people, if you're listening to this in time and you're near enough to the Houston area, there's talks in November 2017, then February 2018, March 2018, and then there'll be a link in the show notes to mythoflove.net to find out about other areas that Andrew may be speaking in the future that you can avail yourself of. So, Andrew, thank you again for giving me the opportunity to talk with you about this exciting things that you're doing with the book, Till We Have Faces.
Well, I love the work that you're doing, and I always look forward to speaking with you, and I look forward to kind of really delving in. I think that if we really understand what Jack was doing with this book, I think it promises to be perhaps the most transformational thing that he's done, and the closest thing to the heart of God. And I need to hear that message of the ugly Oriole and how she gets transformed by love. And I hope that some of your listeners do too. Thanks again, William.
Again, you've been listening to an interview I did with Andrew Lazo. I'm William O'Flaherty, and this is the All About Jack podcast, a feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. Andrew's remarks were recorded in early October 2017, just prior to his first talk in Houston. As noted in the conversation, if you are listening to this before he gives his next talk at Houston Baptist University, then be sure to consider attending. If you are not able to, or if it is later than his last talk in March 2018, then visit his website, mythoflove.net, to find out about other talks or to learn when his book will be out. You can also visit that site to find out how to get Andrew to come and speak in your area. Visit my show notes for a direct link to that site and his personal site to do those things. You can get to those notes at EssentialCSLewis.com and look for this show. But it might be easier to locate the show where the audio files are hosted at allaboutjack.podbean.com. Again, that's allaboutjack.podbean.com. Before ending, let me also remind you that I have a book that is an enhanced study guide to the Screwtape Letters. It's called C.S. Lewis Goes to Hell. You can learn more about that book by visiting ScrewtapeCompanion.com. There you can get an immediate download of a free 20-page PDF sample of the book. Again, that's ScrewtapeCompanion.com. Purchasing the book is a great way to make sure this podcast remains free. Finally, thank you again for listening to All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty.